The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will remain free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the Son frees you, then you will be truly free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me, because my word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence, then do what you have heard from the Father." They answered and said to him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." So they said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Good and good afternoon, brothers and sisters. And welcome back, everybody. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children with the funny names in our first reading, would rather die in a white-hot furnace than worship a false god. A little tiny word today about worship and what it means. Maybe you've never stopped to ask this question before, but it's a very important question. What is worship? It's very simple. It's just the amalgamation of two words, worth and ship. Whatever in your life you value most, whatever it is you hold in highest esteem, that is what you worship. And everybody worships something. I'm sorry to say that most people worship themselves. Here's why. Because whatever you value most, you don't just give it your heart, you give it your will. And will is the heart of worship. Which leads to the only point I really want to make today, is that if you worship God, you must understand, you have to love his will above everything else in the world. So in the first reading, we heard the story of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into the white-hot furnace. Of course, they were rescued from the white-hot furnace. But they sing a hymn of praise, a hymn that wasn't included in the first reading. It's well worth taking a look at. It's a great prayer. Daniel chapter 3, just in case you're curious and want to look it up. "Bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Angels of the Lord, bless the Lord. All you heavens, bless the Lord." And on and on and on. Great prayer. Sing a song of praise that they sing. But understand, they didn't sing that hymn of praise after they were rescued from the fiery furnace. They sang that hymn of praise while they were still in it. Rescue or not, life or death, their praise was the same, because they loved God's will more than their own. That's real worship. Or Abraham, here in our first reading, Jesus invokes the memory of Abraham, our father in faith. Did you ever stop to consider what made Abraham our father in faith? He became our father in faith after he was stripped of everything he loved in this world. He was asked to go to a land that he knew not, but land that God would show him. He left behind his kinsmen and his relatives and his friends and his home and wandered in a desert. He had nothing left but God. But he never lost heart. He never lost faith because he loved God's will above his own. That is real worship. There's lots of stories in the Old Testament about the worship of false gods, Baal or Moloch or the golden calf. Sometimes you hear these Old Testament stories about the worship of false gods and you say to yourself, oh, I sure am glad I don't worship any false gods. Look at me. I'm in church on a Wednesday. Until you realize that anything that you give your heart to, whatever it is in life that comes first, plays the role of a false god in your life. It could be your bank account. It could be your skill set. It could be your appearance. It could be your friends or your popularity. Whatever it is that you put first in your life, it follows as certain as the night follows the day. If it comes first in your life, you're going to give it your will. Now, don't misunderstand. These things aren't bad. These things have their place. But the moment we give them our heart, we give them our will, and God's will is no longer first, and it becomes worshipped as a false god. This is what Jesus means when he says, you cannot be my disciple unless you renounce all that you possess. Stop and meditate on this at some point. Stop and consider that you will renounce all that you possess sooner or later. It happens to us all in death. You know, a consecrated religious takes the vows of poverty and chastity and obedience. Sometimes I stop and marvel that at the moment of death, you're just as poor, just as chaste, and just as obedient as the greatest religious in the entire world. God eventually strips you of everything. And why? Why? Not because God is mean, but because trying to slowly, slowly train you to learn to look to him alone. And because none of those false gods is worthy of your life. Every false god will betray you eventually. They make promises they cannot deliver. Or I like the way C.S. Lewis once said it. God cannot give you happiness apart from himself because there is no such thing. Just a little thought for you here in late Lent. Whatever it is that makes mincemeat of your plans, whatever it is that upsets whatever you were relying on, learn to think of it as a blessing in disguise. Because hopefully, it'll turn you towards God, the truth, the only truth, that'll set you free. Amen.